Rav Halperin, Tisha B'Av Talk, Motzei Shabbos, Tovshin Ayin Vav.
In Parshas Pinchas, Hey Reish Kof Aleph, describes the following incident. Rav Abba told Reb Yossi that he heard from Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the Boitzino Kadisha, great light, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and Reb Shimon heard it from Reb Eliezer HaGodol, the great Tanna. The Chacham Godol, a great intellect from the Goyim, came into the and said, Sabo, Sabo, Yeshli Sholoish Shelois, I have three questions. Taneli, answer me on these three questions. The first question, he said, is you claim that you're waiting for the third Beis HaMikdosh. But if you look, and he knew his Bible, he said, if you look in the Pasuk in Chagai, the Pasuk says, Godol yihyeh kovod ha'acharon min ha'rishon, Omar Hashem. There are only two, there isn't a third. There's the second and the first. So what are you waiting for? There isn't another one to come. There are only two, so your hopes and your anticipation are all in vain. There's nothing to wait for. Second question, you claim that you are krevim, bonim atem lashem elokeichem, says the Zohar. You claim that you are so close and you are devoted to the Almighty, then how come you have so much tzar? How come you have so much exile and godless and difficulty and strain? If you were so close to the king, then you wouldn't have such difficulties. You're mistaken. We are the ones who are close. We have a calm, tranquil life. We don't have any of these difficulties that you have. So you're wrong. It's false. We're the ones who are close and not you. Question number three. You claim that since you eat special food, and your food is so carefully selected and chosen, and clean, so you say, and according to the rules of hygiene and nutrition, you should be much healthier and stronger than we are. But you're not. You're generally much weaker than we are. So how can you claim that because of your food, you are stronger and better? You're not. We eat anything, cockroaches and any, what, ask what you like, we eat everything. And yet we are strong, even much stronger than you are. So your claim is false. Saba, Saba, al titen li et atshuvos, with great chutzpah. This great goy turned around and said to Rabbi Eliezer, answer me, and don't give me your false answers. Rabbi Eliezer lifted up his eye, stared at him, and he fell into a galat somnos, killed him on the spot. However, with great, great anxiety and great tzar, Rabbi Eliezer sat down and cried, and said, Hashem Adoneinu, Moad Yishimcha B'chol Ha'oretz, answer me, tell me, everything is in your Torah. What are the answers to these three? Rabbi Eliezer, the great Tanna, didn't answer. He could have done, says the Zohar, said Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that he heard from Rabbi Eliezer, he waited until the day that Eliyahu HaNavi came to him. And he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, please go to the Masifta the Rakia and ask these three questions. Let me hear from the Kisei HaKovod the answer to these three questions. Evidently, no question. He could have answered himself, but he refused to. He waited to hear from the Masifta the Rakia exactly what the answers were. Eliyahu came back and told him the following. There's no question that Klal Yisrael are much, much closer, and their hopes and their anticipation of waiting for the third Beis HaMikdash is quite right and accurate. But you have to know something. And Eliyahu HaNavi explained the history and the background of the third Beis HaMikdash. He said as follows. Let's fill in a little bit of the background. It's not in the Zohar, but a little bit of background. The Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, also in Parshas Toldos, and also in Parshas Vayechi, explains that each of the Avos, when they went into Golus, into exile, each of them are a siman labonim for the Golus of Klal Yisrael. Says the Ramban, when Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, all that happened in Mitzrayim, she was taken, Sarah, by Paroi, hoping to take her, and eventually they left Mitzrayim with Rechush Gadol. That is a semel, a siman levonim for the Golus Mitzrayim. What happened, says the Ramban, to Avraham and Sarah in Mitzrayim, is a siman for Golus Mitzrayim. When Yitzchok, says the Ramban in Parshas Toldos, went down to Plishtim by Melech Gror and stayed there, it wasn't an inui, there wasn't an affliction, but eventually they made a bris together. Says the Ramban, that was a semel for Golus Bavel. Klal Yisrael went to Bavel, and in the end they became Sorim, they had yeshivas, they had a life in Bavel, and eventually they made a bris, Koiresh, Sayos gave a promise and let them come back. Semel Abani. Says the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, that when Klal Yisrael, when Yaakov, went down to Mitzrayim, he had no idea how long it would last. But he actually thought it would be very quick. His intention was to go down and leave quite quickly and come back to Eretz Yisrael with the intention of the Geula Shleima. It lasted much, much longer than he thought. He was there for 210 years, the family. But eventually they came back with tremendous kavod and great honor, and all the kings and honored Yaakov Avinu when he was taken to be buried. Says the Ramban, we have no idea, similarly, how long Golus Edom will last for. But you should know, La'osid Lovoi, it will come with great honor and great kavod and great majesty to Klal Yisrael when it happens. But, says this, let's go back to the Zohar. When they left Mitzrayim and they sang the Shira, at the end of the Shira, we say every morning, immediately after Adono Yavar and Cho Hashem, Adono Yavar and Zukonisa, to be Ema Besito Ema Baha Nachalosra, to bring them immediately to their Nachalo, Mochoin Lishibtocho Po Alto Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Koinunu Yodecho. Says the Zohar, what they thought originally was that they were going to receive the Beis HaMikdash and the Geula Shleima as soon as they left Mitzrayim. That's what Yaakov thought as soon as he went down. Because when they come out, it will be the Geula Shleima. Says the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was told by Rabbi Elezer, the problem was the Chet HaEgel and Chet Meraglim. And therefore, it wouldn't be built by your hands. Shivtecha po'alto. Shlomo built it, but not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should have been Mikdash Hashem Koinenu Yodecha, but it wasn't. It was built, the second one, by Ezra. Why? Because of the Noshim Nochios who they bought from Bavel. Because of the mistakes which were made, Hashem did not deliver exactly as was intended. Shlomo HaMelech built it, and he knew at the time, Im Hashem lo yivne bayis, shavom lo boinav boy. It won't be built, meaning it's not going to last. And he knew that from the beginning. And therefore, says the Zohar, what we're waiting for is number 3 and number 4, and not number 1 and number 2, as we originally thought. Says the Ramak on the Zohar, the Moshe Kortiver, the meaning of Godoy Nihiyeh Kovoid Ha'acharoy Min HaRishoyin refers to number 3 and number 4 and not number 1 and number 2. Number 3, Rashi says on the Pasuk, Mochon Yeshiv Topo'alto Hashem, that's the Beis HaMikdash Lamaila in Shamayim, which we will never see. It's Mechuvan Keneged, says Rashi, the Mikdash Hashem Koinenu Yodecho, which Hashem will give us and bring number four. So number one and number two are the original, according to the Ramak in the Zohar, number three and number four are the eventual which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deliver to us. It should have been instantly after Mitzrayim, because of the Chatoim, that was the delay. And that's what we're waiting for. And that's the Pshat in the Pasuk of Haggai. That is the answer from Elio and Novi from Shamayim. The second question which was asked, if you are so close, then why do you suffer so much? From Shamayim came the following moshel. Umos ha'olam, all the nations of the world, are compared together with Klal Yisrael to the human body. And every limb and every organ represents another nation of the world. They're basically all of them much stronger than the central organ and the main generator and the main life supporter, which is the lave. All the other limbs are strong and have great power behind them, but in reality they're all secondary. They're not primary. The lave is the main organ. Klal Yisrael pick up every single flicker, every vibration, and anything which goes wrong in the world, because they're the Ikar, and the Umos HaOlam are the Tofeh. And with that basis, we begin to understand what does it mean, all the tzoros and the difficulties which Klal Yisrael have taken on throughout the years. The Umos HaOlam are much calmer, have an easier life, don't have periods of persecution and exile. They're stronger. Let's go on to the third moshul. And that's the reason why which the heart, which is the essential generator, must be perfect. Umum ein boch. Because, said Elio Anovi, they're the central organ and the main mechanism of the world, everything which passes through the heart must be as pure as can be. And that's the reason why Klal Yisrael are so careful with their food. Not to promote greater strength, because of their purity, says the Zohar, there's no sapachas, there's no tzaras, there's no mum on the lave. The lave has to be pure. And therefore, the strength of the body is the strength of the heart. And the food which passes through is the food which is pure, because that is what Klal Yisrael are. That's what they represent. In reality, the meaning behind that moshel and the nimshal from Shamayim is all really, in essence, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph. Atem kruyim odom, ve'ein umos ha'olam kruyim odom. They look human, they appear to be all the strength and the characteristics of any other person, but in reality, Klal Yisrael are called Odom, for one reason, because they are the Ikar, and they make the connection with the Almighty. When a Yid wakes up in the morning, he immediately acknowledges, Shechzal Tobi Nishmosi, V'chem Lo Rabo. A few minutes later, calls Man Sha'anashoma Bekirbi Moida Ani Lefonecho. He continually relates every aspect of his existence back to the source, to the Creator. Every limb, every flicker, everything in the body is Asher Yotzai Sodom B'chochma and Roifei Choboso Amafli La'asois. Everything, the Bokeach Ivrim, the Zokeach Kafufim, the Malbish Arumim, the Asher, every single Shehako Niebi Boroi. That's why we are the Ikar, because we continually refer back to the Creator. And Umos HaOlam never do. They waken them up in the morning and turn on the coffee maker and listen to the news. There's no connection to Borei Olam, and we do. And therefore we are the lev. Klal Yisrael is the ikar. And Umos HaOlam are stronger, are fitter, have much easier, more tranquil, but they're not the ikar. The conversation, the business dealings, the social agenda. He rides and strides. He wines and dines. Everything he does, the Jew, is monitored according to the concept of Mikashem Elokeinu. He is Magbili Lishvos, Loshevis. He is Oba Mashbili Lirois, Bashomayim Uvorets. And therefore, every single nuance, from the minute he gets up from the pillow to he goes back onto the pillow, is one long connection of an ikar, of an odom. And the odom is continually in touch with the creator. That's why he's the lave. The Umos HaOlam in their personal life are like a straight line. John on one side and Mary on the other. John meets Mary in a nightclub, on the train, at work. He falls in love with her, and he lives with her. Until John meets Susan, and Mary meets Bill. And they change their relationships. And it's just a straight line. John and Mary, or Bill and Susan. There's nothing more. In the personal life of Avraham and Sarah, it's a triangle. And they don't actually go close together, they climb up closer to the apex, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle. As they grow closer together, they go closer to the Almighty. When they close the door and live together, there's a Shechina Shavuya Beinehem. That's why they're the Ikar. The Ikar is because they create a Mikdosh Ma'at. That's why they're the lave, because they don't just live to exist, to survive for pleasure. Their whole life is a life of with the Shechina Beinehem. Their laws of Tznius, their laws of Kashrus, their acts of Chesed, their Yom Tov, everything is based on the principle of Atov Echartonu Mikol Ha'amim, or Havto Oisonu. And therefore, we are the lave, because we are the Odom. That's the meaning of the lave. The whole concept of aging by a yid. Oid yenuvun b'seivo d'sheinim b'raninim yeyu. He's old and grey, or b'olahagid ki yosho Hashem. The Zohar brings out on the posuk by Avraham Avinu, by Avraham and Sarah, bo b'yomim. What does it mean, bo b'yomim? Says the Zohar on that posuk. The worst possible situation in Olam Hazeh is to be undressed, without clothing. The greatest adornment and honor is to be fully clothed. Says the Zohar, Bo Bayomim means that each day is an extra kishut, another adornment, another embellishment, another way, another day, another toil, more tefillin, more mitzvahs, more. It grows and grows. That's the Odom. The Odom, as he grows up, he becomes closer and closer. Ben tishim l'sicha, says Rabbeinu Yoina, prayer, the sicha of prayer after the age of 90. A goy, sans teeth, sans eyes, sans everything. Like a cough, like an old monkey, nothing there. Raboisai. If a goy has a major swindle or gets involved in the most disastrous slander, there isn't even a flicker of the kruvim on the orayin. They don't even move. But if a yid is involved in a swindle, then they start vibrating the kruvim on the orayin. Because it's a yid, it's the lave. if John and Mary have a successful marriage for 20 years, and then John goes off to Susan, and Mary goes off to Bill, the Mizbeach doesn't even sigh, doesn't even moan, but Avraham and Sarah, if they part, HaMizbeach boche nora, because it was a Mikdash Ma'at which was broken. It's different. Because we are the lave, and the lave is the ikar. If a billionaire with great arrogance decides to become the king of the world and become the president, and he swaggers with great arrogance, or if a great, great scientist in the world comes out with the final conclusion that there's no almighty whatsoever in the world, chas v'shalom, then what happens to all the wheat fields in Oklahoma? The harvest is the same. What happens to the oil wells in Texas? No change. What happens to the Dow Jones index and the stock? What happens to the dollar? Nothing. That's the meaning of when the Pasuk says in the beginning of the Makos, Noshoimu Pinoi Soihem, I destroy their twin towers, and all they can say afterwards is, let's build it again, with great valor and great courage, and yes, we can. That's all they are. They never learn a lesson. There's no connection. They're only an arm. They're only a thigh. They're only a muscle. But they're not the heart. And Klal Yisrael matter. And that's why anything which happens in the world, we pick up on it. And they don't. Because they're not the main organ. In 7 weeks' time, we'll stand at 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock, on October the 3rd. And we'll proclaim in the greatest possible intention and sincerity, Hayoim haras oilom, hayoim yamid bamishpot, kol yitzurei oilom. Ato zoiche es kol maisei b'nei odom, ein shikcho lifnei kisei kavoidecho. I don't suggest it happens, but supposing in your mind you imagined Google Earth, and you took a look to see what was happening at 10:30, 11 o'clock on Monday, October the 3rd. Take a look at Los Angeles. What's happening there? They probably closed another street because they're making another movie in Hollywood. What happened in Paris on that morning? They're just sitting normally and having coffee on the Champs-Élysées. What happens in Japan on that morning? They just make another few cars. What happens in England, on the west end of London? All the shops in Oxford Street open up. There's no change, because they don't even know what's happening. Ashrei ha'om yoidei tzuruha. Hashem v'or ponecha yahaleichun. We have the shofar, and we have something to work with, because it is literally hayom yamid b'mishpat. We are the lave, and therefore, every morsel which goes in our mouths and every action registers on the Keruvim, and the Mizbeach can break down if Avraham and Sarah give up, and they break up. Because they're only a muscle, they're only a limb, they're not the heart. The Shulchan Aruch brings down in Tov Kuf Gunan Tes, Siv Hei, that there's a nature and there's a certain, perhaps a mila of an ovel. An ovel is obsessed. An ovel, you can't talk to an ovel about what he's wearing. It's not important. You don't talk to an ovel about a sale in town. He's not interested. You don't talk to an ovel, he's got nothing to talk about what he's eating. He just eats the food. He's completely obsessed with his loss, an ovel. Sitting on the floor, we're supposed to be driven by the ikar. An ovel sees life exactly as it is, bull, right between the eyes. There's no distraction, there's no deflection, there's no diversion. The ovel sees clearly exactly what it is. And the answer is, our role is Rachmono Liber Boy. When Eliyahu came back with his moshel, the moshel is that everything has to be monitored by the lathe. Sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av, we are supposed to be fully focused on the avoider of Echad HaMarbe v'Echad HaMamit, uvivad sheyechaven liboy lashomayim. Shulchan Aruch Siman Samach, Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavono. That is the lesson sitting on the floor. And Ovel realizes what Eliyahu meant, picks up the Nimshal, and walks away with a message in the heart. The Mishnah in Ovos, in Perek Aleph, says, Al Shloshah Dvorim Ha'olam Oymed, Al HaTorah Ve'al Avodah Ve'al Gemilas Chasodim. Rabbeinu Yoina is Mechadesh in Pshat. Unbelievable Chiddush in Pshat. Rabbeinu Yoina says the Mishnah means the three hopes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for mankind. The world depends on the Shleimus of the three things that are expected for us to perfect. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim. Each one of those three requires a major insertion of the lathe to succeed. We say every morning, Al HaTorah, Kulam Yoidei Torosecha, V'loimdei Torosecha Lishmo. The first aspect of Torah is to fully be aware in what the words mean, the Chochmah of Torah. That's Yoidei Torosecha. Loimdei Torosecha Lishmo is to be completely devoted with a genuine motive of learning Torah because Hashem wants it. And that the Torah that one learns goes right inside. Toichoi kebaroi. Hagon atzadik. Moreinu rebarie. Zeichot tzadik livrocha. I sat with him and learned through all of Mishlei, the Gaon on Mishlei. He once explained the following pasuk this way. This is how you learn Torah. Perek Beis, pasuk Beis. Lahakshiv lachochma oznecho, tate libucho latavuno. The Gaon says that Torah needs two prerequisites. The first is lahakshiv lachochma, you need ears. You need to listen very, very well, to pick up and hear everything in Torah. Pick up the Shia and hear what Rashi is saying. You must first collect all the information. Says the Gaon, Asei oznecho kafar keses. And afar keses is the drain around the stones when they ground the wheat. That wheat would fly off, and you have to catch everything flying off. Every Rashi, every word, every letter in the Brisa. You have to catch everything. Second stage is Tate Libucho Latavuno. The Gaon asks, why the lave? Since when is Havono in the lave? Havono is in the mind, not in the lave. Says the Gaon, once you've picked up the information, you have to reach a stage of Ad Buya. Full clarity, and full clarity is in the lave. Meaning, I understand and I apply it. Toichoi kebaroi. I don't know. My experiences are not great. But one thing I learned from Ebarie is that everything was toichoi kebaroi. As he learned it, he applied it. He moved it from the ears into the heart. And without that, you just become an encyclopedia or a wizard with great knowledge. But that's not the point. The Loimdei Torosecha Lishmo is moving it into the Havona, and the Havona is in the lave. The lave has to pick up the ideas. And that's why we say, V'hoyu hadavorim ho'ele al levovecho, on the lave to internalize Torah. Number one. Number two, in Tzadik Ches, in Shulchan Aruch, Eizu Avodah Shabalev Zui Tefillah, there are three cardinal halachas when it comes to the Avodah Shebal Lev in Tefillah. First is Perush HaMilas SheYotze Misvosov, to fully understand the words that are said. Secondly, without a hefsek. And thirdly, the Loshin of the Mishnah Berurah is V'yosim El Liboy. The mindset is She'ein B'yad Shum Malach Hoy Nivra Hoy Koychov L'malois She'elosoy Ki Im V'yotzoyno Yisborach. The full understanding when one stands and prays in front of the Almighty that no one in the world can help me but Him. You need Lev. Lev. You can't daven without Lev. And that's why the second prerequisite is Avoido. Avoido is Tefillah, and Tefillah needs Lev. Gemilas Chasodim, the whole basis of Chesed is the Koyach Lehetiv, to be benevolent to somebody else, to be kind to the other person. Several years ago, a leading newspaper in America asked one of its leading columnists to come to Israel and write an appraisal of Israelis, a goy. He came and spent 2 weeks here and went back and wrote the following. It's strange, he said, that in Israel there are two seas, one in the north and one in the south. But they're quite different. The one in the north is full of life, and all Israelis love it, the Kinneret. And there's full vegetation all the way round. They swim in it, they fish in it, and it's full of life. The second sea is the Dead Sea, and it's literally dead. There's no vegetation in it, there's no life in it. People go there for remedial purposes, but in all intents and purposes, it's literally a dead sea. How come one is full of life and the other is full of death? And he wrote as following. Everything that the Kinneret receives, and she receives an enormous amount from the Golan and all the rivers flowing in and all the tributaries coming in, every single drop that the Kinneret receives, she passes on and goes out at Degania and goes into the Jordan. Everything that the Dead Sea receives, she keeps for herself and gives nothing away. Said the Goy, it's interesting, one which is full of life keeps nothing for herself and passes everything on. And the one which is dead holds everything for herself. Can there be a greater lesson, he said. I can't believe he was not a Jew somewhere in his family. Oh, but can you imagine, he said, that life means giving everything that you have, and death is when you just hold it all for yourself. He said, that's an appraisal of the Israeli nation. I'd like to make a suggestion. There's now 3 weeks of holiday, or Ben Azmanin, but to get a chizuk in what did it mean by chesed, there was an Adam Gadol Ma'oid Ma'oid who died 2 or 3 years ago, whose name was Reb Avrom Ginachowski. They wrote a sefer called Agan Hasar, and it's now been translated into English by Reb Avrom Fish, called Reb Avrom. You begin to feel that you don't have an ounce of chesed in your blood when you read what this man did in his pu'ulas of chesed. Just to ground who we're talking about, on the 11th of Kislev, Tovshin Ayin Aleph, he was taken by a Talmud, Reb Leib Deutsch, to three koilalim in Monsi, which were all run by Reb David Bodner in Monsi. In the first koilal, Reb Avraham walked into, he asked them, what sukya are you learning? What masechta? And they were learning Eiruvin. And he asked them, which daf are you learning? They told him which sukya. He then gave them a full shiur klali on the Gemara that they were learning. It took about 45 minutes, and then he took him to a second koilal run by Rav Bodner, and there they were learning Bav Metzia. He asked them what sukya they were learning, and he gave them another shiur klali for 45 minutes on the Bava Metzia. Then he's talking to a third koilel, and they were learning Shabbos. Again he asked them, and then he gave a 45-minute shiur klali on three different mesechtas without even knowing a minute before what they were learning. So we're talking about a person who is a gon oilam. 35 years ago, there was the Gedoidim in Bnei Brak wanted to make a kol koile, and Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, Shir Bari, asked all the Gedoidim, he was then a great Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't who he was today. He gathered together all the Rabbonim, the Gedoidim, and took them into the stipler for a kol koile, for the stipler to sign. And Rabbi Aaron Leib asked Rabbi Ginnikovsky to come along. At that time he was in his early 40s. And he said, he refused to come, I don't want to come. I don't want to come to sign. But Aaron Leib said, but we need you, 40-year-old man, with all the gedolim. But he said to Reb Steinman that if the stipler won't sign, tell him that I would have wanted to come. The stipler refused to sign the Sotva Kol Koile. All the gedolim left, and as Reb Aaron Leib walked out of the room, he turned and said to the stipler, Reb Avrom wanted to come. Stipler said, really? Give me the paper, I'll sign. So we're talking about one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, perhaps in our dor. A bocher, it's in Agan Hasar, once came to the house to collect him on a Shabbos to take him to give a shiur. By mistake, he pressed the doorbell. Reb Avrom did not answer the door. The bocher waited outside there and knocked for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, Reb Avrom then came to the door dressed in his pajamas. And he said, I'm so sorry. I just didn't hear anybody knocking. The son who was there, Reb Shlomo Yosef, said, my father never ever wore pajamas during the day. To avoid the embarrassment, he waited 10 minutes and changed into his pajamas. One Erev Yom Kippur, straight after Mincha, he ran over to an old Talmid Chacham sitting in the corner of the Beis HaMedrash and begged him, please give me a brocha. The Talmid Chacham was sitting there, gave him a brocha, and Rav Avraham stood by him for a few minutes. As soon as he'd finished, everyone in the Beis HaMedrash came over to him to ask for a brocha. The Talmidim were watching, realized, so that old Talmid Chacham sitting in the corner shouldn't be embarrassed that everyone's coming to me. Rav Avrom first went to him first, that he should give him a bracha to avoid the embarrassment. Talking about super sensitivity, unbelievable chesed. He used to travel every week, quite a few times a week. He lived in Bnei Brak and was a Rosh Hashiva in Shabin. He once sat on the bus coming to Yerushalayim, and an Isha Perutza, dressed without any tzniyas, came and sat next to him. He turned around to the lady instantly and said, Geberet, ani mitzta'er ma'od, avol yeshli kus bedoy. Immediately she got up and went and sat somewhere else. Kus bedoy are tzitzis in Aramaic. He turned and said to the lady, I have kus bedoy. She would think it's an illness, and therefore she got up and left. Oh, but the Pinchus. He used to live by this maisa of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Yadua, that once Reb Chaim Volozhin went to do the mitzvah of Pidyon Shavuim, and he had to go through a forest. He said this maisa over many times of Reb Avraham. On the way through the forest, Ganovim, Chamosim, seized him, and threatened to kill him. And they said to him, we give you 5 minutes to think for yourself, and then we're going to kill you. But Reb Chaim was by himself, Chaim Volozhin. He sat down and thought for himself for 5 minutes. Immediately, the head of the Ganovim turned around to him and said to him, you're free, you can go off and leave him. Afterwards, he told the Bochrim what had happened when he arrived where he went to. And they asked him, what did you think about in those 5 minutes? Said Reb Chaim, I had one desperate wish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I should not leave this world with any sinner in my heart. I thought of one thing Ahava for the Ganovim who are going to kill me, but real Ahava, K'mo Shenema V'yohafto L'Reyacho K'moicho, but real deep Ahava. And that generated an Ahava from him, but my intention was to leave this world with complete Ahavas Habriyos, and that affected him, and therefore I was saved. Unbelievable, Maisi, but it's the Leiv, and the Leiv is the monitor. In the Zohar, there's no reference that the three questions are connected. Obalanias Daiti, they certainly are. The Zohar records that once Reb Abba had finished telling Reb Yossi the three questions and the three answers, Reb Yossi got up and went over and kissed Reb Abba and said to him, "It's kedai to come to Olam Hazeh just to hear those three questions and answers." I'd like to suggest Rabbi Isai, sitting on the floor with full focus on Tisha B'Av, that the Leiv is the main organ, and that we on Kurim Odom, and every move registers on the Kurim, on the Oroin. If we are so sensitive in Torah, in Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim, in the Leiv, if we learn like Reb Aryeh learned, Toichoi Kabaroi, if our prayers would be B'li Shum Hesach Hadas, if we can generate, like Reb Avraham did, the love and the affection Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, and we're careful about everything we eat because of the Leiv, then L'Anias Daiti B'Irei Olam will come down and kiss us and say, "Enough. I will bring the Bayis Shlishi," for one simple reason. K'mayim aponim laponim, kein leiv ha'odom la'odom. Says the Malbim, the Leiv is a unique organ in the anatomy of a person. Everything the Leiv gives, she gets back. That's the way the Leiv, she doesn't do more than that. She just keeps on pumping, and everything which goes round comes back. If we would give all our Leiv, and we would make that decision on Leil Tisha B'Av, that our Torah would be internalized, that our prayer would be what it really should be, that we would promote this Ahavas Habriyos, which is thorough, which is genuine, which is the real love for another Jew, not just a mabakach of a smile, but to generate the Ahavas Chinam, because after all, the famous Loshen in the Bayless case, when the Talmud Chacham was asked, "You call yourselves Odom," I think Reb Chaim Voloshin answered and said, "Yes, but Odom is in the singular, we're all one. Kol Yisrael Arevim, Kulam Biyachad, the Ahava, V'yohavto L'Reyacho Kamoicho." Then I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would fulfill the first question and give us back what we were so desperately waiting for. It's taken a long time. It's 1,948 years. 1948 is a very mystical number by us. It was the year that Avraham Avinu was born. Maybe after 1,948 years, if we suddenly wake up sitting on the floor with a full focus of a novel, with the full intention of what's supposed to be as a yid, that the Leiv monitors everything, not the exterior, not like a goy. Nothing matters by the goy. He's not Ikar. He's stronger. He has more and more tranquility in his life, but he doesn't have what we were made for. We were made to be v'atem krevim dveikim el Hashem Elokeichem. That should be a resolution from this evening, to model ourselves on Reb Avraham Ginachowski, to learn, I'm telling you, to learn like Reb Aryeh learned. Everything was internalized, everything was applied, nothing was learned just for the intellectual pursuit. For anybody who knew Reb Aryeh, everything was kulai, internalized and applied instantly. If we're able to do that, then like Reb Abba got up, Rabbi Yossi got up and kissed Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Olam will come and kiss us ויובי לנו ביאס המושיח ובניין המקדוש מיודוי הפסוכו וקבל שובים בפיירו ביומנו, אמן.